Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kreitas. Today is Tuesday, April 20th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, Trial by Jury or Mob Rule. Now, today, as many of you are very much aware, I am certain that the verdict came in already with respect to the case of former Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin. This was quicker than what I had anticipated. I figured it was going to be a couple days. That jury only needed about 10, 11 hours, I believe it was, to render their verdict. And it was guilty, guilty, guilty for all three charges. The most serious charge was second-degree unintentional murder. Then there was third-degree murder. And lastly, second-degree manslaughter. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm surprised that they found him guilty on all three charges. That was my initial reaction to it. As I stated, I was not going to be surprised if they had found him guilty of some of the lesser charges. I would not have been surprised if there was a hung jury, and I wouldn't have been surprised if there was actually an acquittal. But guilty, 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 I was surprised by. Now, again, I was not rendering my personal verdict on this case because I didn't want to act as some sort of de facto juror because I was not in the courtroom for the entirety of the case. I did not hear every piece of the evidence. I did not see all of the exhibits. And I think that's what's missing from our mainstream media and from many, many politicians. And of course, Congresswoman Maxine Waters was even called out by the judge yesterday for her comments that she made the other evening about not settling for anything less than guilty for the charges of murder, not manslaughter. If he was found guilty of manslaughter alone, that would not have been enough for Maxine Waters, and she was supposedly speaking on behalf of the crowd. That would not have been good enough. There would have been violence. There would have been protests. There would have been riots. And again, peacefully protesting, it's our First Amendment right. We have the right to do it. And that should be expressed. And that should be exercised. I have no problem with that whatsoever. In fact, on many issues, I will march with many, many people with many different groups. And I will defend groups, even those who I do disagree with. Because that is their right, and that's what this country is about. It's about liberty. And just because I may support somebody's right to do something does not mean that I am endorsing what they stand for. But that's how it's supposed to go. That's how it's supposed to work. And round we go. But I am concerned. Because I am hopeful that the jury took their job seriously, and I believe that they did. But we have to hope that they were not skewed by any sort of opinion by the media. We have to hope that they took the judge's orders seriously and not listening to the media during the case. But as I always say here, hope is not a strategy. But guilty, guilty, guilty was the verdict. And I just want to share this before we have some further analysis on what took place here. I just want to read the last paragraph to my write-up to yesterday's podcast. Because I just want the audience to understand where I'm coming from, and especially with the title of today's podcast, Trial by Jury or Mob Rule, because we cannot succumb to mob rule. That is not what this country was built upon, but it is something that can definitely tear us apart. And if there's one thing that I am certain of, that the powers that be, the media that we have in this country, unfortunately, it's all about divide and conquer. And it's not about the totality of the evidence. It's about ratings and getting eyeballs, stoking fear and division. So here's what I wrote. Lastly, for now, one of the main messages that has been transmitted since this incident occurred was the media and many others declaring Mr. Chauvin guilty well before his trial. This is dangerous to our society and body politic. There is no question that what took place was a tragic occurrence. However, we have a system that states any individual is innocent until proven guilty, and that the burden of proof is on the state, not the defense. Furthermore, in a criminal case, the state must prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. This is a high bar, and rightly so. Our founders understood the importance of due process. They understood the power of the state, and they understood the importance and value of life and liberty. Imprisoning someone takes away their rights, and so the state better be quite certain that they are prosecuting the right person, because it is a bigger crime to convict an innocent person than it is to let a guilty one go free. It is this discussion that is missing in the mainstream media. It is not about the totality of the evidence, due process in our Constitution. Rather, it is about the media hype, the politics, and the money. And in this noise and drama, we lose ourselves as a country. May God be with the jury as they render their verdict, and may their decision be based off of the evidence of the case and not rooted in fear as to what the mob may or may not do. May justice be served, and may there be peace. So that's what I wrote, the final paragraph to yesterday's write-up for yesterday's podcast. And I mean that wholeheartedly. We're supposed to respect our institutions to the best degree that we can, of course, assuming that they are doing a good job, and there are many, many flaws within our institutions. We talk about them here all the time. But you cannot attack the foundational building blocks of some of our institutions, which are proper. These are the pillars of our justice system, due process, trial by jury. The burden of proof is on the state. They have to make their case and prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. The defendant does not have to testify. He has the right against self-incrimination under our Fifth Amendment. These are the pillars. And some of these pillars are being, I think, attacked. And it's not about the totality of the evidence. It's just about the snippets here, the snippets there, getting the ratings on the media, allowing politicians to grandstand and get in front of the podium. This isn't new, by the way. But with the 24/7 news cycle, with social media, everything is on overdrive. It's information overload. This is why we don't have trials in the public square, because that succumbs to mob rule. That's not how it works. Because things can get out of hand very quickly. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. People like to say it's a democracy, and it's under, well, it's not unfortunately understood that that's what it means if people want to say we're a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. Okay, and our founders also understood the dangers of democracy. Because everybody can be on the same page initially. If you were to say, okay, there was some sort of oligarchy that existed, and all of the people, but the vast majority of the people, are totally against this oligarchy. They're against this system of corruption and abuse, and all of the power and finances being in the hands of the few. So it's easy. You say, okay, well, let's let the people decide, and everybody has a vote, and it's open democracy, okay? When it starts out, everybody's pretty much on the same page because they're against the system. But then as things start to get better, because you brought down the oligarchy, because you brought down that old guard, now people are going to start having their own ideas about other things. And now it's just a matter of time until it becomes 51% of the population dictating to the other 49% of the population what to do. And what do you think is going to happen? It is not going to end well. Ask the ancient Greeks. Okay? That's why Rome had the Senate, Rome had the Republic. Learned from their mistakes. That's why we adopted a constitutional republic. Because it works. You have these safeguards, checks and balances, etc., etc. If you understand the history of this country, you understand why our Constitution is one of the most beautiful documents ever to exist. Does it have problems? Yes. And I don't even want to go through all that garbage and all of the tearing down that people want to do with respect to our country, its founding, etc., etc. Okay. I don't even want to go down that road. But that's where we are. Those are the arguments that are getting made. And of course, it's all based about race, not the content of your character, not what you said, not what you did, not your actions. Just what color skin do you have? And that's enough. It's not about the totality of the evidence. It's about simply, what piece did you witness? What did you hear? How did you feel? What is your truth? Bring that in and let that be it. That's not how it's supposed to work. And that is getting pushed further and further every single day. Now, Mr. Chauvin will be charged, I believe, or he will be sentenced in about 8 weeks or so. And he could spend quite a long time in prison. And I would imagine at some point there will be an appeal. They could challenge the process of the entire trial. He could challenge the judge's decision to have the case heard within Hennepin County as opposed to somewhere else, not sequestering the jury. He could go, you know, for an argument having ineffective counsel. We've had Supreme Court cases where lower court decisions were thrown out and reversed because of a circus-like atmosphere that occurred within those cases. So there will be legs to stand on. Now, whether that goes anywhere, of course, that's way down the road. But just something to mention there. And again, this was a tragedy. But the other thing that you don't typically hear, because I guess it's insensitive, or you're not supposed to say it, or you'll be deemed a racist, as opposed to just looking at the facts of the matter. But, you know, a lot of this just simply would not have happened if Mr. Floyd just listened to the police officers, just calmly went into the back of the police vehicle and stated his case to his attorney and to the judge in the system about having a counterfeit $20 bill. I mean, that's at the end of the day what this ended up being about, a lousy $20 bill that was counterfeit. And I mean, every other podcast we talk about here with the Fed and the money system, I mean, it's all counterfeit. It's all garbage. The man shouldn't have died because of this. But his actions also played a major role in what ultimately occurred. Mr. Chauvin isn't responsible for him walking around with a $20 bill, a counterfeit $20 bill. Maybe it even wasn't. And that's the thing. Maybe Mr. Floyd didn't even know that he had a counterfeit $20 bill. That's quite possible. That's quite possible. So doing anything else is just going to make it worse for yourself. Resisting arrest, and then, you know, something should happen within a little, you know, wrestling match with the police officers, then they're going to charge you with assaulting police. It's just going to spiral out of control from there, as opposed to just getting in the back of the car, calling it a day. Not your best day. I understand nobody wants to be in that position. Saying he can't breathe before, as he's just sitting there, before he's even put in the back of the vehicle. Having drugs in his system. In serious drugs. This wasn't just like it was just, okay, it was marijuana. This is fentanyl. This is not an amateur. Okay, people don't just go wake up and say, oh, it's Tuesday, let me go try to find some fentanyl. He had meth in his system. These are serious drugs. These can do a lot of damage. No question about it. Doesn't mean the man should have lost his life. That's where we are, and that's my biggest concern with all of this. If the jury made the decision based off the totality of the evidence, not based off of fear as to what the mob may or may not have done or will do, then I'm completely fine with this verdict. I really am. I'm shocked, again, with the guilty across all three charges, but if the jury was sitting there, and of course they were for the entirety of the case, they heard all of the evidence. That's their decision. That's our system. Mr. Chauvin, if he wants, can pursue appeal down the line. That's how it works. That's what we deal with. If their decision was based off of fear from mob rule, I got a big problem with that, and every single one of us should have a problem with that as well, because that is where this is trending. And that is what gives me the most concern about all of this. And then, of course, unfortunately, this just breaking not too long ago across Reuters. Protests erupt in Ohio after police kill a black teenage girl. Protesters gathered outside the police department in Columbus, Ohio, after officers shot a black 16-year-old girl to death on Tuesday, according to the mayor, the family members and the media. So that story is developing. So on to the next one, I guess we can say. And of course, we have to wait to see the totality of that evidence. But the hits just keep on coming. And of course, after the verdict, you had members of the prosecution team make comments to the media. You had Keith Ellison, the attorney general out of the state of Minnesota, give prepared remarks. And they were decent remarks. I don't have really any issue with them, except what he did not say. And I would have wished that somebody in his position who is accountable to the people and responsible for them, too, as the attorney general of the state of Minnesota, that he would have told the general public, please do not riot. Please do not destroy your cities. Please do not do it anywhere in the country, but especially here in the state of Minnesota. That's what he's responsible for. Didn't do it. Didn't say it. He had prepared remarks. Some of the other prosecutors were just sort of off the cuff, which is perfectly fine. But this gentleman, the attorney general of the state of Minnesota, he had prepared remarks. Don't you think being an officer of the court, being somebody who was a law enforcement agent as the attorney general, don't you think it would have been important and just an example of some sort of leadership that is clearly lacking across this country to say we do not need to have a repeat of what took place last summer? Do not destroy these businesses. Do not do harm to anybody else. You have a constitutional right in the First Amendment to peacefully protest. Please do that. Please be peaceful. I would have liked to have heard that from him. He did not say such a thing. So again, there's really no leadership, but so that's par for the course. But that's what we've grown accustomed to. So I really don't think I'm saying anything that's controversial. I know some people may find it insensitive. I'm just looking at the totality. I am just concerned about my country on multiple fronts. The bulk of what this podcast is about is more towards the economic side of things, more towards the financial markets and geopolitics, but clearly it all intersects. The intersection of economics, politics, and society, it's ever present. It's just I choose to focus more on the economic side of that three-legged stool than anything else because I think that's where it mostly all starts. Political problems will be a result of economic problems, and social problems will be a result of the other two, and round we go. Okay, but this is something that's important. I am concerned for my country now. I am concerned about it in the future. I think we're well past the time for any sort of proactive action. That ship has sailed a long, long time ago. So it's all about reactive. And a lot of what we are witnessing to me is not good. It is not in the right direction. And it gives me concern that basically what's going to have to happen in this country is we're going to have to hit rock bottom. And the question as to where we go from there is, do we sort of just hang out at the bottom for a long time and just sort of pick up here, go down here, pick up there, go down there for a long time? Or do we adopt the right policies? Do we understand our Constitution? Do we understand free market capitalism? Do we understand truth, justice, and prosperity? Or do we not? If we do, our best days can be ahead of us. If we don't, then our darkest days will be ahead of us. It's quite simple. This is the fork in the road, as I see it. Again, I could be completely wrong, but this is how I see it, and I think a lot of other people out there do. So, this is going to be a long process, either way, and it's going to be painful. And with what we're doing economically speaking, I want to get to market performance again here today because it was a back-to-back down day across Wall Street and really global markets as well. With all of the quote-unquote stimulus, with all of the stimulus checks that are going out there, this is just fattening people up. This is just getting people hooked on this monetary methadone, if you will. It's basically fattening you up for slaughter. I mean, this is what we do with cattle. This is what we do with pigs. This is what we do with turkeys. We fatten them up, and then we slaughter them. Everybody's getting fat and lazy because, well, I don't want to go back to work. There's a ton of help wanted signs all over the place. Yeah, these aren't the best paying jobs. These are the jobs that were lost. They were not well paying to begin with. A lot of well paying jobs, those people could work from home. So there wasn't that big of a loss for a lot of people. But for lower paying jobs, a lot of the jobs that came into existence under the Trump administration, well, a lot of those got wiped out. Now we're opening back up. Nobody wants to go back to work. They didn't like it. They don't want to contend with traffic. They don't like their colleagues. They don't like their boss. They don't like the customers, blah, 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 blah. They're saving money. They don't go out to lunch. They're not buying a cup of coffee. Government's giving them all this money. And the government says you don't have to pay your bills. You got forbearance. If you don't want to pay them, don't worry about it. And you got people crypto trading, cryptocurrency trading, stocks only go up, all this fiasco. Everybody's becoming a day trader. What could possibly go wrong? People don't understand it. People don't understand it. Just like the hogs don't understand they're going to slaughter. Just like the sheep don't know they're about to get slaughtered. This is how I see it. Again, I could be 100% wrong. But there is no production in this country that is going to grow our way out of this. Not with our twin deficits ballooning, our federal budget deficit and our trade deficit. This is one bailout of the United States going to major corporations in this country because those are the only businesses that are allowed to stay open because they're all essential. They're all essential. $650 billion that our dingbat Treasury Secretary gives to the IMF to give to everybody else. Yeah, bail them out. And then our trade deficit. We're not producing stuff here, so we got to buy it from somewhere else. We got all this money people want to spend. That's what we do in this country. So other countries have to produce what we're purchasing. So they can grow. They can have savings. They can have surpluses. Because that's what they're trading. They're trading their surpluses. Here you go. Take it. To their benefit. And of course, we're financing all this. And others are doing the same thing too. It's whack-a-mole with all of these central bankers. One popping up, yeah, we're going to print some more here, we're going to print some more there, blah, 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 blah. The only ones that are in dire straits are the ones that have inflation that cannot be ignored. The ECB can ignore it. The United States can ignore it for the time being. Other countries like Brazil and Turkey, even Russia and even India now, it's getting hard for them to ignore it. And India is an interesting case because they have higher COVID-19 cases, higher daily cases, counts now than ever, than since this whole thing began. And you have the Prime Minister of India, who is now cautious. He is cautious about these lockdowns. He's cautious about these lockdowns because he's a politician and because he understands this interconnection between economics, politics, and society. He understands that his economy was weakening well before the onset of COVID-19, just like so many other economies around the world were. And we were covering this. Capital News was all over this in 2019 when we first got online. So Prime Minister Modi out of India is cautious about these lockdowns because it's hurting his economy. And you have to recall several months ago, India was at that crossroads. They were witnessing, they were feeling the effects of inflation. Already feeling it. But then you had the pandemic too. So now the Reserve Bank of India has a problem. What do we do? Do we attempt to combat these inflationary pressures? Or do we cut interest rates and throw even more money, even more inflation into the system? Well, what do you think they chose to do? They chose to fight inflation with more inflation. They were more concerned about, quote unquote, stimulating their economy with more funny money as opposed to reining in inflation. And now they're at this crossroad again, what to do, and the Prime Minister is concerned with the economy going down further once again. And now you have oil prices continuing to go up, and India is a massive importer of oil. So that will continue to feed this frenzy, this higher price pressure across the board. And we are witnessing other countries going back into lockdowns, Japan being one of them, or declaring other emergencies due to increased COVID-19 cases. So what will this continue to do? Well, we saw this song and dance before. It will lower productivity. It will hurt supply chains. We will have more bottlenecks, more disruptions that will put further price pressure on so many goods and services to the upside because of this. we are not out of the woods. They continue to crank the dial, to keep pushing the buttons. All of these vaccines. More and more people getting vaccinated by the day. Globally. Yet we have record cases in a lot of these countries. I thought the vaccines were supposed to be the cure. I thought this was it. Nope, got to keep the mask on. Got to keep socially distancing. Can't do it. Cases keep going up. So what are we going to do? What's going to be the solution? You got to go get another jab? How many are you going to need? And depending on the vaccine, it might not even be welcomed in various countries. All of them. I think every single one of them, maybe, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe the only one that has not had countries put it on pause or delay it or have grown skeptical of it, I think is the Moderna one. I know for a fact Pfizer. I know obviously the J&J that was recent. I know AstraZeneca. The Chinese one that was out, you know, we had the health administrator out of China stating that it wasn't that effective. So you want to be a guinea pig? It's your body, your choice. Do what you want. But again, I just say practice good health and sort of hope for the best, I guess. But it's just another head scratcher. But we'll continue to monitor this, and it's going to continue to have a lot of effects. And we still have the Japanese hosting the Olympics a few months from now. So if they continue to go on lockdown, even though they've pretty much already stated that there's not going to be any foreign participation from the standpoint of spectators traveling to the country, it doesn't mean that they're going to allow the Olympics to go on. It's basically it's a very fluid situation, and we'll continue to monitor that. Some market performance. We have the dollar index at 91.21, 91.21. Bitcoin is at $55,500 a coin. A big sell-off over the weekend. We didn't discuss that much yet this week. Obviously, Bitcoin was north of $63,000 a coin last week, and it went down, I think, as low as $51,000 per coin over the weekend. So this continues to exhibit extreme volatility. It is not a store of value. I still have many, many problems with Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin, Tesla, and a handful of other stocks that we mentioned here are going to be the poster children of this virtual everything bubble. Time will tell. But dollar weakness pretty much across the board. A sea of red across the board as well with respect to the stock markets globally. Overnight futures trading the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, both down about 0.2%. The NASDAQ 100 also in the red, down about 0.4%. The cash trade in Japan down nearly 2 full percentage points off of this COVID-19 news. And we have a sea of red across the pond in Europe, pretty much everybody down about 1.5% to 2.9%, depending on the country. Obviously, a lot of selling. Cash trade in Australia also in the red, giving back 0.6%. On the commodity front, we have WTI at $62.22 a barrel, Brent $66.14, both in the red currently. Natural gas $2.72. Gold and silver hanging on. The trend for both is upward, which of course I'm liking. Gold was at $1,783 an ounce, silver $25.93 an ounce. Both are currently in the green, up about 0.3% respectively. Copper at $4.23 per pound. Soybeans hitting a 7-year high. There's no inflation, ladies and gentlemen. Lumber has pulled back a few percentage points, but yesterday it was above $1,300 per 1,000 linear board feet. No inflation, don't worry about a thing. And lastly, Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note, 1.56%. So there you have it. COVID cases on the rise, the Olympics in doubt. Again, as we stated yesterday, it appears that Russia has amassed about 100,000 to 150,000 troops on the Ukrainian border. So, hey, spin a globe, stop it where you want. You're probably going to have a problem there. So there's a lot of dry tinder and kindling all over the place. It's not going to take a big spark to set these things off. A lot of things are already taking place, but of course, you got to search for it because the mainstream media in this country is a joke. It is a joke. So trial by jury or mob rule. Let's hope it was a trial by jury. Because if we succumb to mob rule, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And it'll spiral downward very quickly. Believe me when I tell you, this is not just me fear-mongering. This is rooted in history, which I try to provide the basis for many of my arguments, sort of rooted in history, providing perspective and context. Again, you want some evidence, you want a history lesson on this, spin the globe and find it, because it either exists now or it existed somewhere before that brought a country down. So, and we are not immune to this. So don't be fooled or tricked by any type of American exceptionalism, this, that, or the other. Because let me tell you something, mob rule is extremely dangerous. So there it is. We will continue to monitor so many of these stories, and thank you for sticking with us. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.